If you'll open your Bibles, please, to the book of Judges, chapter 21. It's towards the beginning of the Bible, right after Joshua. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, chapter number 21. I want to talk to you tonight about the gray area issues of life. You know, there are some things in life that are just clearly right. I mean, it's just unquestionably the right thing to do. For example, it's right to come to church. You have done the right thing tonight by coming to the service. It's right to love people. It's right to forgive people. It's right to be kind to people. It's right to pray. It's right to tithe. It's right to share our faith. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are just obviously the right thing to do. At the same time, there are a lot of things that are the wrong thing to do. It's wrong to lie. It's wrong to hate. It's wrong to hold a grudge. It's wrong to be rude. It's wrong to fall asleep when I'm up here preaching. It's wrong to do these things. It's wrong to use bad language. It's wrong to get drunk. It's wrong to fight. It's wrong to gossip. It's wrong to lust. It's wrong to commit adultery. I mean, there are just a lot of things in the Bible that God says, thou shalt not do these things. And so we read it in the Scripture. Whether we like it or not, it's black ink on white paper, and we say, well, I'm not going to have any trouble. I may have trouble doing the right thing, but I'm not confused as to what the right thing is. But there are other issues in life that are not so clear. It's not black ink on white paper. And the reason I had said to my dad earlier that this sermon I think will be especially helpful to the teenagers tonight is because they live in a world of gray areas. In other words, they live in a world where they get in situations and they know certain things are wrong to do, and so they try not to do those things. And yet there's this whole other world of activities and events and things that are not clearly wrong. In other words, there's not a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not do that. For example, some of the type things they would struggle with would be this weekend, for example. Their friends are throwing a party at one of their houses or somewhere, and there's going to be alcohol served, there's going to be things happening that they know are wrong, and so they know that to participate in those activities would be sinful, but they wonder, is it wrong to go to the party if I don't do all of those things? I can remember years ago a young man said to me, he was a teenager, he led one of our worship bands, it's been a long time ago now, and he said, you know, John, when Jesus was on the earth, he went to where the sinners were. He went to the what we would call the parties or the nightclubs of the day. And he went, remember Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to call sinners. And so he said Jesus went to where the sinners were. He wasn't always at church. And he said, so based on that, my band and we have decided that instead of just playing our music at church, we also play non-Christian music, and so we're going to start going to some of the clubs in the area, and even though we're not playing Christian music, we're Christian people, and we hope to get to know them, and we're hoping that by our being there that we can win some of these people to Christ. And he said again, the reason we're doing that is because that's what Jesus did. Well, how would you have responded to that comment? He really wasn't asking me a question, he was just making a comment. I guess he did follow it up by saying, P.S., what do you think about that? I said, well, it's a touchy issue. I said, it is true that Jesus went to where the sinners were and he came to call the sinners to himself. He didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinners. I said, but keep in mind that when Jesus went to a setting like that, he came to call the people out of darkness. And the only thing you have to be careful of, if you continually go into that setting and you're not even playing Christian music, it's almost like you're stamping your approval on their being in a setting like this to begin with. I said, it's not for me ultimately to tell you whether it's right or wrong for your band to go to a club where all kind of things are happening and play non-Christian music, but I don't think you can call that apples to apples compared to what Jesus did, because again, he went to call the people out. And so what I'm saying is there are some things that are just not as clear. Let's just take alcohol. I've already mentioned that. It's clear in the Scripture that getting drunk is a sin. There's no debate about that. And yet, and people may say to you, and people have certainly said to me, Jesus turned the water into wine. In another place in one of Paul's letters, he said, hey, to Timothy, if you're having some stomach problems, you should drink a little wine for medicinal purposes. And so some people say, hey, Bible says don't get drunk. It doesn't say that you shouldn't drink at all. And so they would say, for me, I drink a little wine, but I don't drink in excess, and so I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. But what I'm saying back to you tonight, even on that illustration, we would all have to admit it's a gray area. I mean, if it's clearly wrong to get drunk, is it wrong to drink wine in moderation? Now, I have an entire sermon on that subject. I've preached that sermon twice. I thought about writing a book entitled What the Bible Says About Alcohol. Would there be any interest in that? Because those books take a long time. Would you be interested in that? Okay, not really. So I'll write about something else. But it's a gray area issue. And so how do you know? The question I'm asking tonight is not just on these subjects. The question I'm asking tonight is how do you know what to do when you don't have a verse telling you that it's either right or wrong? Well, one thing you can do is just look at the situation and make your own judgment and make the decision that you think is best. And that's what I wanted to show you in the book of Judges tonight by way of introduction. So you found Judges, verse 21. The very last verse of the book of Judges is in verse number 25. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Now watch this next part. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Say that with me. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now let me ask you a question. Did everyone do what was wrong in his own eyes? No. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And yet what they did, much of what they did was wrong. Even though they looked at a situation, they made a judgment, they said, in my opinion, it's okay to do X, Y, Z, so I'm going to do what I think is right, and yet what they thought was right was actually wrong. Now, turn a few pages over to the book of Proverbs, and I could just quote this or reference it, but it is a Wednesday night Bible study, so let's look up some of these verses. In Proverbs chapter 14, in verse number 12, let me let you find it. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so sometimes we look at a situation and maybe we even pray about the situation and say, now God, what would you have me to do? And as we're looking at it, we say, well, I think in this situation, this seems right. And so I'm going to do what I think seems right. And yet the Bible says there's a way that seems right, but it's not right. It's wrong. And the way that you thought was right actually leads to destruction. And so what I'm saying tonight is that it's not enough for us just to sit back and say, okay, I'm going to look at the situation, I'm going to make an assessment, and I'm going to do what seems right, what I think is right, what is the most rational thing to do, because the Bible says sometimes what seems right is actually wrong. And so the question is, does the Bible have anything to say about issues that the Bible doesn't specifically address? Does the Bible give us any parameters, any guidelines, any principles that will help us look at a situation that we say, you know what, that's kind of a gray area situation. I don't know if I should do that or not. If I should, to the kids later on, we have to make our own application. I don't know if I should go to the party or not. I'm not planning on drinking, but I don't know if I should go. I remember one time I was preaching revival out in West Texas. I was in seminary, had gone out there to preach, and one night after the service, a lady chased me down in the parking lot. She, I guess, had teenage kids, and she was trying to teach them right. She said, John, I have a question for you. She said, do you think Baptists can't dance? That was the issue in their house. I said, you know, ma'am, I can't speak for the Baptists. I just know I can't dance. I tried, and I can't do it. And she said, I know, but my kids are wanting to go to these dances, and is it right or wrong? Well, it's a gray area issue. If you're adamant on that issue and say dancing is a sin, the question back would be, well, now show me a verse. Show me where that is in the Bible. So, I mean, what I'm saying is life is full of these questions, these issues. Life is full of all these gray areas. Which movies should we watch? Should we even watch movies? Should a Christian even go to a movie theater? If so, which movie should a Christian watch? It's not in the Bible. There's nothing in the Scripture that's going to answer those questions verbatim, but thank God there are principles that we find in the Bible that will help us. Now, years ago, I read a book by Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, who also pastors in the Atlanta area. And I forget the name of the book, but the point of the book was, I think he called the book like The Magic Question or The Most Important Question in Life. He said, you know, so many times in life when we're looking at a situation, we ask this question, is it wrong? Is it wrong? Is it wrong for me to go to the party? Is it wrong for me to dance? Is it wrong for me to go to this movie? Is it wrong for me to do whatever it might be your great? Is it wrong for me to do this? He said, the problem with that question is, it's the wrong question. The best question is not, is it wrong? In other words, some people say, well, the Bible doesn't say I can't do it, so I'm going to do it. The best question is it wise? Is it wise? In one place in the Scripture, Paul said, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable for me. And so we have to ask ourselves, okay, God, we ask God, how can I know what is wise when the Bible doesn't address this issue? And so here you see five questions tonight that we have printed out to hopefully give some clarity to this subject. Number one question to ask is this, do I have doubts about this activity? Do I have doubts about this activity? Now, all these verses are going to be on the screen, but I wish you would look them up tonight just so you can mark them in your Bible. If you'll look in Romans chapter 14, over in the New Testament, right after the book of Acts is Romans. Romans chapter 14, and it's the last verse of that chapter, verse number 23. Paul is dealing with an issue and that has to do... And let me just go ahead and tell you what this issue is, because it comes up again in another one of our passages tonight. It has to do with eating meat that had been offered to idols. Now, you know in New Testament times, people worshipped all kinds of gods. There's only one true God, but people used to worship the stars, and they worshiped the moon, and they made up gods. I mean, Greek mythology is just filled with all the gods that people worshiped. And in New Testament times, in some of these cultures that Paul was traveling to and writing to, what the people there would do is, as part of their worship to God, to their God, their false god with a little g, they would offer up sacrifices. So they would take meat, and they would light a fire, they would build an altar, and they would offer up this sacrifice to the sun, or they would offer up this sacrifice to one of their mythological gods, okay? Well, when the gospel of Jesus Christ reached these areas, many of these people got saved, and they stopped doing that. Instead of worshiping made-up gods, they started worshiping Jesus Christ. And yet, there were still others in the towns in which they lived who were taking this meat. They would go to the butcher shop, buy the meat, bring it to the altar, offer it up in an act of worship to their false god. So now the people who had received Christ are no longer doing this, but they're watching these other people still do that. And so a big, hotly debated question in New Testament times was, is it okay for Christians to eat this meat that has been offered to idols? So in other words, after they would make the sacrifice to their god, they would then take the meat and they would begin to eat it. Maybe they would take the meat back to the butcher shop. Now the meat's been cooked, and they would begin to sell the meat, or maybe to some local establishment, and they would sell the meat. And so the question was, okay, I don't do this anymore. I don't offer this meat up to these idols anymore. But as a Christian, is it okay or is it not okay for me to eat that meat? And this was a much debated issue. Well, they asked Paul about this. They said, Paul, you have to tell us, is it right or wrong to eat the meat? And Paul basically said, and we'll see this a little more clearly in 1 Corinthians tonight, but Paul basically said, it's perfectly fine to eat the meat. These people are offering this meat up to false gods. These idols they worship are not even real. So something that doesn't exist can't contaminate this meat. And so Paul said, it's perfectly fine for you to eat that meat. And yet there were some people who, when they heard Paul say that, they started eating the meat, but they had been taught that since they were now Christians, it was wrong for them to eat the meat. Now Paul is straightening them out, and he's saying, no, it's not wrong for you to eat the meat. It's perfectly acceptable for you to eat the meat. They began to eat the meat, but since they had been taught it was wrong so strongly and so long, when they ate the meat, they felt guilty about it. Their conscience condemned them. So the point is, eating the meat was not sinful in itself. But look at the last verse of Romans 14. Paul said, he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. And so what Paul is saying is, the issue is not the meat. You think the big deal is this meat. That's not the primary issue. The primary issue is your conscience. And by eating the meat, does that make you feel guilty in your conscience? I've already mentioned Andy Stanley. I'll tell you another one of his stories, just talking about the sensitivity of conscience. One morning, somewhere in the Atlanta area, he was scheduled to meet a husband and wife for breakfast. They had visited his church. They had questions probably about the Lord, about being saved, about joining his church, about the Bible, who knows what. And so somehow, maybe he had been calling visitors and he got them on the phone and was trying to figure out a time when they could sit down and talk. And they agreed that they would meet at a restaurant on a particular morning and the three of them would have breakfast together. So that's how it happened. Well, on the day of the breakfast, when he got to the restaurant, he saw the wife, but he didn't see the husband. And so he went up to her and they talked for a moment and he said, well, where's your husband? Is he in the restroom or is he running a little bit late or where is he? And she said, no, my husband's not here. Something came up, maybe with the kids, maybe at work, and I don't know the details of that, but she said, he wasn't able to make the breakfast, so I'm just here by myself. Well, Andy, as a married man, was feeling a little bit weird. What am I supposed to do? Should I have breakfast with another man's wife when my wife's not here, her husband's not here? I mean, it's a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. So it bothered his conscience. So what did he do? He stepped away from the woman. He probably went into the restroom. He called his wife, told his wife exactly what happened, and he said, do you want me to just reschedule the breakfast, or do you want me to, what do you want me to do? I just want you to know the type of situation I'm in. Well, she started laughing when he told her all this. And she said, well, Andy, I appreciate you calling, but since you're already there, you got up early, you went to the effort, she's there, thanks for telling me, but you go ahead and just have breakfast with this lady. And so that's what he did. But had he not done that, the whole meal, he would have been thinking, his conscience, he would have been thinking, somebody's going to call my wife and say, I just saw your husband having breakfast with this other lady. And he said, if that conversation happened, he wanted his wife to be able to say, I know, I told him to do it. So he was trying to get himself a little bit out of the hot water on that. Now, did he make the right decision or the wrong decision? Well, according to him and his wife, he made the right decision. But according to this verse, it didn't violate his conscience. He had a clear conscience because he wasn't doing anything that would be behind his wife's back. So we have to deal with doubts. Anything in your life that you do that you don't feel have faith, that you're, as you do it, you're wondering, is this right or wrong for me to do? If you're asking that question, it's wrong for you to do it. Even if the thing itself is right or okay, it's wrong for you because your conscience is not clear. There are some things, I have friends who do certain things, I can't do those things. Not that the things are wrong, but for me, my conscience would bother me. Their conscience is clear, so they do it. They're not guilty of sin. If I did it, I would be guilty of sin because it would bother my conscience. So always be sensitive to your conscience and never go against your conscience. You still listening? Say amen. Okay, the second question is a good question. Could I ask God's blessings on this activity? Could I ask God's blessings on this activity? Now, once you've written that down, turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I want to show you a very important verse there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so we want to make sure that anything we do in life, that we, not only is our conscience clear, but we could say, God, I'm asking you to bless me tonight, this weekend, whatever, as I go. And friend, listen, if there's an activity or if there's a thing in your life that you could not ask God to bless, then you shouldn't do it. Or at least you shouldn't do it now until you get to a place where your conscience is clear and you could ask God to bless that activity. Now, the third question is also very important. Could this be a stumbling block to others? It's not just about you. So it's not just enough to say, well, you know what? When it comes to drinking that glass of wine, or when it comes to going to that movie, or when it comes to watching that show, or when it comes to whatever the issue might be, it's not enough to say, well, it doesn't bother my conscience, and yeah, I could ask God's blessings. That's only the beginning point. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look in verse number 4. This will give you a fuller background to this thing about this meat that was offered to idols. Paul said, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God, there's no other God but one. Now look in verse 8. For food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. It doesn't matter about this meat offered to idols. Verse 9, but beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So if there's something that you're thinking about doing, it doesn't bother you at all to do it. You can have a clear conscience. You could ask for God's full blessing on that, okay? But ask yourself this question. Could it be a stumbling block to somebody else? If I do this, could my participating in this activity lead somebody else to stumble? And in verse 13, you see how Paul resolves this issue in his own life. He says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And so Paul's saying the meat in and of itself is perfectly fine. There's no sin in the meat. But if I eat that, and Paul would say, if I eat the meat, my conscience is clear. If I eat the meat, I could ask God's full blessing. But if I eat the meat and somebody else back here who just got saved and their conscience is a little more tender on this subject, or maybe they don't have the full understanding that it's actually okay to eat the meat, if they step back and see me eating the meat, and then they say, well, if Paul can eat the meat, then I can eat the meat, and so they go over here and they eat the meat. But when they eat the meat, they violate their own conscience. And so Paul is saying that in this instance, he would be a stumbling block to somebody else. That's the reason that I don't drink any alcohol. It's not that I think drinking in and of itself, drinking a sip of wine or a glass of wine, I do not think that in and of itself that is sinful. I just don't. But for me, because I don't think the Bible teaches that it is, but for me, I think it would be sinful. First of all, I'd probably feel so guilty about it anyway. The first point would have me on the conscience. I would feel so, I just pretty well can't do anything, to be honest with you. Feel guilty all the time. But I'm just teasing on that. But I was at a restaurant, I think I told this about 9-10 years ago. I was at a restaurant one night down on Fuquay. There used to be a Luby's down there. It may still be there. And I was on a Thursday night by myself, and it was a great meal, but they started playing music. And I never had really noticed this up here at the one in Deer Park. They started playing music at this thing. And there was this lady that had a t-shirt that said Long Tall Sally. I guess it was her name. And she had like a rag, a towel, and she was walking around to all the different tables, or a lot of the different tables, and she was asking men to get out on the floor and dance with her. And so I'm sitting there eating, and I said, God, I don't know if I would be a stumbling block, but I just know I can't ask your blessings on this activity. Please don't let her come to my table. And thank God she didn't. I ate fast and got out the door. Now, would it have been sinful for me? No, I don't. It would not have been sinful. It would just been stupid is what it would have been. So I think there probably is a verse somewhere that says, thou shalt not be stupid, okay? If it's not actually there, it's just implied. But back to the alcohol. Here's why I don't drink alcohol. Let's say after the service tonight, I went to one of these Mexican restaurants, and I ordered an alcoholic beverage. And I said, I have no intention of getting drunk. I'm going to drink this. I'm not going to do anything the Bible says is wrong. What if you walked in? Or what if, I think probably you would. But what if one of the students walked in? Or what if a brand new Christian walked in and saw me doing that and said, well, I didn't ever know what the right thing to do was on drinking was anyway, but if John's doing it, I guess I can do it too. And so I drink one glass, you become an alcoholic. And so I became a stumbling block. So what I'm saying is, on that issue, it's not even my conscience, or it's not even could I ask God's blessings. It is rather that in the world in which we live, I think that activity could be a stumbling block to somebody else. Just write this verse down. Let me read it to you. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 4, Paul said, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So it's not just about how do I feel. It's about the body of Christ, and it's about people who are not even Christians. And by doing this, am I going to make somebody else sin? And then the fourth question is, it kind of builds on that. Could participating in this activity damage my witness for God? Could it? Could it damage my witness for God? And the verse that we've printed there in the Old King James says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. But just ask that question, could participating in this activity damage my witness for God? And if it could, you would have to say, well, I don't think I should do anything that could damage my witness for God. Now, let me throw in a little caveat here so that this sermon will be completely biblical and balanced. By asking these questions tonight about what other people think and is this going to offend anybody, I don't think that the Bible, in fact, I'm confident that the Bible would not have us to go so far that we allow a legalist or some radical to totally dictate everything about our lives. I mean, if you take even these principles that I'm giving you tonight, see, even these principles, you have to ask the questions, and then you have to get with God, and then you have to let His Spirit give you the answer to that. I mean, there are some within the body of Christ who believe that it's a sin for women to wear makeup. So, does that mean that you're, as a lady, you're going to say, well, since they think it's a sin, I'm not going to do that at all? No. See, that would be allowing some radical, that's just too far. I don't even know how to say that that's not the spirit of the Scripture on that. So you have to take what these questions and you ask them to God. There are some people within the body of Christ who believe it's a sin to go watch a movie at all. I mean, if it's Herbie Goes Bananas at Hollywood Theater or the movie theater on 45, they say you should not even go to a theater because there's bad stuff going on. See, in my heart of hearts, even trying to be sensitive to others, I think that's taking it, I think that's just not in the spirit. I think to go that far with it would be to allow a spirit of legalism and even oppression to dominate and to control your life. So what you're trying to do when you're going through these questions is, in good faith before God, with a tender, genuine heart, and you may look at an issue and come up with a different answer than I do in my own life, and that's fine. That's why we have to give each other liberty here, but you have to just think about these things, but don't take it so far that you don't do anything in life. That's just not the spirit of the Scripture at all, but it's still a good question. Could participating in this activity damage my witness for God? And then the last question of the night, and then I'll stop. Would I do this if Jesus were in the room? If Jesus were in the room with me right now, would I watch this program? Would I go to this movie? Would I go to this party? Would I do this thing? Would I involve myself in this conversation? Would I take this vacation? Would I go on this trip? if Jesus Christ were in the room with me. Because the fact is, Jesus Christ is in the room with us at every twist and every turn. And so as I want to make clear, because the last thing I want to do tonight is give you questions that God would want to use to help you be free and do right and consider others and yet walk in the freedom that the last thing I would want to do is to put you in handcuffs and you walk out of here saying, good night. If I do this, there's bound to be somebody offended. Well, there's going to be somebody offended no matter what you do. So don't go that far with it, but just in your heart before God. I think the thing, and maybe even to simplify what I've given you tonight in a way that might help, probably the way to ask this question is, and to deal with these gray area issues is, you know, first of all, God, do I feel peaceful about it in my heart? Do I feel peaceful? And to a rational, logical, thinking person who themselves is trying to go by the Bible and not trying to hijack the word, if I do this, is it going to be okay by them? And God, the main thing is, would I do this if you were in the room? If you'll just even have the spirit of these questions when you're up against the gray area issues of life, whatever you decide on these things, listen, the fact that you're even trying to do right says to me that God's going to bless you. Amen? And I just sometimes think, I've often said before, you know, sometimes we're trying to know God's will on an issue or a situation, and you know, sometimes we make a decision, and it may be the wrong decision. But I've always thought, if we make the wrong decision the right way, trying to make the right decision, that God will honor the process that we used to try to do what was right. So do the best you can. Go by this. Try to have a heart that's pure before the Lord. And just follow your conscience, and He's going to lead you in the right way. Amen? Father, I thank you tonight that your word has given us these principles that help us know what to do even when there's not a clear verse that says, thou shalt not do this or thou shalt do this. You've given us principles. God, help us to walk with a clear conscience and help us to walk in love towards those round about us. Now, Father, for people here tonight who need to make a decision for you, I pray that you would give them wisdom to do that even tonight. Some may need to come for their salvation, to be saved, some to confess their faith in Christ, others to join the church or to be baptized. But God, I just pray tonight that all of us here would do the thing that we in our heart feel is the thing that you're leading us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen.